Let me give you an update. Jeffrey Reiser called me and wanted to update me on Brother Egbert's situation. If you don't know this, Jenny Reiser's father this week had a heart attack and then ended up having to have open heart surgery. He had 4 bypass and had the surgery on Friday. Is that right? I got my days right. Friday. And then we were at the hospital for some time yesterday. He's still in very critical condition as of yesterday. They hadn't brought him out of. They still have him sedated. Just really pretty rough. But this morning, when Jeffrey called, he said there was improvement. The doctors were pleased. His blood pressure is getting closer to normal, and his heart rate is becoming more regular. And they are still not bringing him out of from under sedation, but they don't want him to get too excited. But they're going the right direction. He's still very, very, very sick, very critical condition. So if you please remember to pray for Pastor Eddie Egbert, and of course pastored for years right down the road here and then now up in Suburban Baptist Church. And I got to shake hands yesterday with his associate pastor. You talk about the hand of God. Sunday night, they voted in this man to be his associate pastor and to be in charge of several things, including visitation. And who would have known, he told me, who would have known my first visit would have been on Monday evening at the hospital with my pastor having had a heart attack. But they did bring, God allowed him to be brought in as associate, so there's someone there that can preach and fill in at the church there. And so in little ways you see the hand of God, but this is a very serious situation. 53 years old. So let's pray. They did fly Jenny's sister and Jamie. They flew her, and she was out on tour for the Heartland College group. They flew her back. And I guess she got there last night all right. I forgot to ask, did she, Brother Jonathan? I think she was supposed to get there about 1 o'clock last night. I guess she made it in okay. So anyway, pray for the family. Also, my father, Pastor Ross, his brother-in-law passed away, and that would have been Saturday morning, correct? Early Saturday morning. Bob Alexander, this is his sister's husband, and the visitation will be Tuesday from 4 to 8 in the funeral home there in Cloverdale, Indiana, and the funeral will be 11 o'clock on Wednesday. And Pastor Ross will be doing the funeral, so let's pray over that situation too. We have been praying for you. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Well, I'm excited about this. I'm excited about teaching it, the book of Genesis. I've had just a blast studying it. The biggest obstacle, of course, is because last week I opened my big mouth and said we would do a chapter a week. I'm going to try to do that as best we can. Of course, that means we won't put under the microscope every phrase and every word. We're just going to keep moving, give an overview. And I feel like that's maybe what the Lord wants us to do. So we're going to do that. And to the best of my ability, I'll see how this goes. But I'm going to give you some things that I think are just going to be tremendous and will help. This chapter 2 is chocked full of wonderful, wonderful Bible principles and truths, Bible firsts. A lot of things are introduced to us. And here we have in Genesis chapter 1, we had mentioned just in a verse the fact that God created man. Then God, in Genesis chapter 2, stops and goes into more detail about the creation of man and the purpose for which he was created. And I think it's kind of neat to see, because in Genesis you find a lot of the what I call the original intent of Almighty God. Now, we're still in the chapters before sin comes in and messes everything up. But I think that you men especially, and ladies will benefit, but you men, you know, it's kind of good to go back as a man and look and say, when God made a man, what was his original intent? I think it's very interesting, and we'll get into that. I'm going to give you a little formula that I think every man here will relate to instantly, because there's something inside of men that God put in there. And there are some things that, whether we understand it or not, or can explain it or not, I think when I when I mention these things, you're going to relate very well to what's said this morning. And so let's read the chapter, and then we will pray, and we'll get right into it. And we've got about, 40 minutes, not quite, 38 minutes, and we'll do the best we can to cover as much as possible. Let's read Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the heaven, or the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. So if you're looking for gold, that'd be a good place to go look, all right? And the gold of the land is good, and there is bet. Someone want to pronounce that for me? Okay, you're as brave as I am. And the onyx stone. The name of the second river is Gihon, and the same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hittical, and that is it which goeth towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, now this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would just help us as we study the Bible together today. Lord, that you would, Lord, help us to see what it says, and then examine ourselves, and then, Lord, line ourselves up with the Scripture. And we thank you for, Lord, giving us a book so we would know your heart, your will, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding of Almighty God. Help us to glean these things today. And help us as a result to be more like Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go back to the first of the chapter. And I'm going to touch on just a handful of things before we get into what I'm calling the purpose of man, or when God made a man. I mentioned a little bit about the seventh day last week. The first three verses of Genesis chapter 2 talks about the seventh day. God created the earth in 6 days, six 24-hour periods, and then on the seventh day he rested, not because God was tired, but because he was setting an example for us. Now he took that seventh day and he sanctified it. The Bible said he did two things. He blessed it and he sanctified it. And you know what? I'm just going to tell you that that formula still works pretty well for us today. You say, Brother Jerry, why do we celebrate, why do we assemble on Sunday, which is not truly and really the Sabbath? And you know what? That's a legitimate question. It's a good question, and there's a Bible answer to that question. But God did regulate a formula where there are to be 6 days, and one day would be sanctified or set apart for Almighty God. Now, up to the time that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, then that Sabbath day, or the day that was observed sanctified to God, was the Sabbath or Saturday. But when Jesus rose again, it signified the beginning of the church age, the period of grace, if you will. And we meet on the day that Jesus rose from the dead. We get that. We didn't just decide to do that or come up with that. We do that because that is the example that's set for us by Christ's disciples right after the resurrection and by the New Testament church. So the Bible shifted that. But God's formula as far as 6 and 1 has never changed. It was that way before the law was ever established. It was then reinforced by what the law says. And I still think today it's exactly the way God intended mankind to be. Some of you folks that are a little bit older can remember when Sunday was a sacred day. And you know what? Businesses weren't open, and there wasn't, I mean, the world just basically shut down and took Sunday off. And now you can hardly tell the difference between a Sunday and a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday. It's just go, go, go all the time. By the way, businesses used to just, I mean, no business. I don't care how big, how small. There wasn't a business that would hardly run on a Sunday. And by the way, folks, I do understand that there are hospitals that have to run 7 days a week. I mean, I'm sure Brother Jeffrey and Sister Jenny are glad that not all the doctors and nurses decided that since it's Sunday, they're all just going to walk out of there and leave those sick people. And so you got to be careful, folks. Don't become a Pharisee over this thing, okay? If your house goes burning down today, I don't imagine you would want. By the way, that happened to me and Cheryl. We were actually at home on a Sunday afternoon and had a house fire when we lived in Brazil. I was sure glad when we called the fire department, they didn't say, sorry, it's Sunday, and we don't work on Sunday. You'll just have to watch your house burn down. Okay, I'm just saying that I think that we have to use some good sense when it comes to some of these things. That's where the Bible talks about if thy what's it say, what kind of animal? Ox. I went blank there all of a sudden. I kept thinking about a Chevy truck. But if thy ox falleth into the ditch, sometimes there's circumstances, folks, where if something is not attended to right away, there's going to be loss of life or loss of property. And God respected that and understood that. Sometimes there's just those circumstances. But, folks, let me say this. As a whole, those are the exception, not the rule. Those are the exception, not the rule. And so we ought to, if we can, unless we're providentially hindered by Almighty God, what we need to do is just learn to respect God's formula. And I think the whole world would still be a lot better off if we just did that. Now, I'm going to say a little more about that in a second, okay? So let's move on. Verse 4 through 6, let's talk about the uncivilized condition of the world. Now, don't let that throw you off. The word uncivilized just simply means means that man has not yet civilized the earth. If you look in verse number 4, it talks about these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, the day that the Lord God made the heaven and the earth, earth and the heavens. Now, notice this, because God made them on purpose in the way that he made them. And I'm going to tell you why he did that in a minute. But look, notice with me carefully. Verse number 5. And every plant of the field. Now think about that. It doesn't say every plant, but it says every plant of the field. Now what that means is crops, plants of the field. Now notice this. For every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. Now, remember that verse 5 is a continuation of verse 4. You just have a comma at the end of verse 4. So it says, in the day that the Lord made the heaven and earth and the heavens, so I could say, and made every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and made every herb of the field before it grew. Which means that there was a lot of things that were there. They were already there, but they had not been cultivated. They had not been I can't come up with the other word I'm looking for, but there were a lot of things that God put in the earth that would be useful to man, but it was not going to be useful to man until man did something about it. Now, this is very important. This isn't a little point I'm trying to get across to you here. If you picture the earth at this time, verse number 6, Well, let's finish verse number 5, and let me read verse 6, and then let's see if I can do a little better job explaining this. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. And there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Now remember, this is written. Do you remember who? Someone tell me who the book of Genesis is written by? Moses. Okay, so Moses is writing this down and telling how it was previous to the flood. That's why it seems like he's going back and saying this was before it rained, folks. And so there was two things that hadn't happened up to this point when God initially created the world. You understand, like I said, the world was basically a globe, and then there was an atmosphere, and then there was another covering of water, a firmament of water. Now, when the flood happens, that firmament's going to come crashing down. And I believe, by the way, that there was a lot more land mass at this time. I think there were seas. The Bible talks about seas dividing the land from the land, but I think there was a lot more land mass at this time. What you had was this a greenhouse effect. You had this tropical, I think things just grew, and it was just unbelievably blessed the ground was as far as bringing forth things. But let me just say this, go to the jungle, go to the tropics, go to a tropical atmosphere. I mean, it's almost like it is so conducive to plant growth that it just goes crazy. And I'm going to tell you right now, God did that on purpose. You know what? Because he said, I created it like this, and now I'm going, it's like this, because at this point, there's no man to till the ground, and also at this point, the climate was controlled because there was no rain yet, and we still had this firmament, and there was a mist that came up, and I think that the sun reflecting and warming the earth from pole to pole. I think it was very tropical. And now keep that all in mind. That's what God created on purpose in his perfect mind, in his perfect situation. And then, verse number 7, the Lord God formed a man out of the dust of the ground. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the Bible says in verse 5, and the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Now he's going to create that man to do what? Wait a minute. Are you sure? I mean, I thought work was part of the sin curse. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Now stay with that thought, okay? So God said, all right, I've created this wild, wonderful world. Okay? And it's in divine chaos. Now I'm going to create a man to put it in order. Now stay with that thought. I'm going to get to it, all right? Stay with that thought, all right? So then the Lord God, in verse 7, created man. We're told in chapter number 1 that he was formed in the image of Almighty God. In chapter 2, verse 7, it's told how he was formed. He was formed out of the dust of the ground. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. By the way, folks, listen to me. That's a very important phrase there. Because God gave man a living soul. Now that means that this and this only part of creation. I know you animal lovers. God bless you. And I like animals too. I do. I do. I like them beside my potatoes and beside my green beans and... I like the animals too. But there's only one of God's creation that will live forever, that has an undying eternal soul. Only one. And that was man. Now why this, by the way, let me say this. That living, you ought to look up that little word living. That's interesting. He gave man a living soul. Living. It's talking about life. It's talking about freedom. It's talking about soul liberty. You understand? Oh, God made us a living soul. When God did that, by the way, he knew exactly what he was doing. And he knew that that had to be tested. Okay, God didn't see what happened in the Garden of Eden when Eve fell into sin and go, oh, I didn't foresee that happening. Oh, no, I would have never. Do you know he created us to have a freedom of choice, a soul liberty? God wanted a creature that had a choice and would choose him. God wanted a creation that had a choice and would choose him. And by the way, he still wants that. Now, I know we messed it all up, but you know what? You can still choose Christ. Or you can choose not to receive Christ. Man still has the free spirit liberty and a soul liberty, and they can either choose God and choose to have a relationship with God, choose to have fellowship with God, and choose to be part of God's family, or to this day they can just choose not to. But I think that God wanted a creation that had the ability to choose, and then wanted them to want him. That's interesting, isn't it? And we're going to move on here, all right? Now, verse number 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now, let me give you a little outline. We talked about the seventh day and the uncivilized condition, and then with the creation of man. Now I'm going to talk to you about the purpose of man, and I'm going to give you five things that God did. Five things God provided for man, or gave man, now that he has created him. He's created him, now he's going to give him some things. Number one, let me give you this. God gave the man a specific mission. God gave the man a specific mission. Now, I want to show you to remember what we studied in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 5. Because I believe that God created an uncivilized world with the intent that man would bring civilization to the world. Okay? He created a situation or an atmosphere that would cause the earth to need tending. All right, you with me? Now look at chapter 1, if you will, and verse number 26. Let's read this, all right? Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now notice verse 28. And the Lord God blessed them, and God said, and we're going to get to all these things if we got time. We'll get to all of them. Stay with me, all right? And the Lord and God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and what? Subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." It's very interesting. He said, "I want you to multiply and replenish the earth for the purpose of subduing it." That's interesting. You see, folks, God gave man a specific mission. God didn't create this garden and put Adam in that garden and say, "Now listen, I've got this perfect little place for you, and it will need no tending. It will need no work. It will not need to be pruned. It will not need to be kept. It will not need to be dressed. You just lay around and enjoy life." That is not the way God created us. And by the way, there's not a man alive that's truly happy that lives like that. Have you ever noticed that, you get a boy about 12, 13, and he's just restless all the time? He just starts getting restless. And you're like, "What's wrong?" "Well, let's go do something." "I want to do something, Dad. I want to do something." "Well, let's go play ball, or let's go do this." "Well, okay, but..." And he'll do this, and he'll do that, and he may pick up this hobby or this, but you know what? He's still restless. Gentlemen, don't be surprised when your young men come to you at 12, 13, 14 years of age and say, "Dad, I want to get a job. I want to do something. I want to work on something." And usually they don't. They want to do that away from you. Now, you're providing them all those opportunities, but they kind of want something that comes with a paycheck at the end of it. They want to do something. They want to. You know why? Because God created man to do something. God created man to work. God created man to subdue. God created man to till. Chapter 2, verse 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." down in south of Lexington, Kentucky this week. I'm driving through those back roads, and you know what? It's amazing. Most of those farms down in there, the fences that go all the way around those farms are over 100 years old. And they're made out of what? Rocks. Where'd they get all them rocks? Clearing, picking them up out of the field. Why? Why do that? Anybody own property? Raise your hand. Okay, as soon as you own that property, guys, you went out there and what'd you say? Well, it's a mess. It's grown up and I love it. I love them weeds. Look at all that shrub brush. That looks good. I'm happy. Were you happy? There's something about it. There's something inside of us that we want. God intended us to subdue it, to dress it, to keep it. I stopped at Brother Tom's house the other day and pulled in there real quick, and I said, "Man, your place looks nice." And he said, "You should have seen it when we got it. How much acreage you got there?" 17 acres. Let me ask you something. Okay? Yard looks nice. Flowers look nice. Buildings in back. Think about this. How much effort does it take to subdue 17 acres and get it to produce a living? That's 17 acres. That's just 17 acres. I got 8.5 acres, and it looks like it's uncivilized. It's still uncivilized. I can't keep up with it. Unbelievable. I got 8.5 acres. I guess it would help if I was ever home, but I can't hardly keep up with it. This needs cut. This needs pruned. This fence roll needs done. This needs weed. I mean, there's always something. Why can't you just leave it alone? Just leave it alone. And there's people that seems like they have the ability to do that, but I'm telling you, it's not naturally, that's not there. Are you thinking? You see? Work is not part of the curse. Work's a blessing. Yes, to get up in the morning and have a mission, to have a purpose, to be able to do something. God gave man a specific mission. Now, this is what he said. And you think about this. Sin hadn't interrupted it. This is what I think God's intent was. I've got this incredible world. Adam and Eve, I've given you to. And by the way, children were part of the plan already. He told them to multiply and replenish the earth. And so then it says that God planted a garden, which is very interesting, in verse number 8, which means he gave him a foothold in this tropical, uncivilized world. And he said, "I'm going to give you a foothold. Now you start here. I planted this garden, and you work it, and it will nourish you. And then I want you to multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it." And I think, had not sin interfered, man, Adam and Eve would have had their children. And you know what? Beside mom, beside dad, or somewhere out, they'd have taken another piece of property and said, "Let's get this one." And you know what? They would have got up in the morning and worked. And by the way, it wouldn't have been a hardship or toil or the sweat of their brow. It would have been an enjoyment. That part of the curse of what work is came as a result of sin. But you know what? I think that God's intent was, you're going to spread across this earth, and you are going to slowly take all this wild, wonderful world, and 1 acre at a time, you are going to till it, and you are going to make it productive, and you're going to dress it, and you're going to keep it, and this is going to be the home for all mankind. And I'm going to tell you something. People can say everything they want to or anything they want to, but down deep in every man, there's a part of you that wants 5 or 10 or 15 acres somewhere where you can go out and you can take care of it and you can work it and you can subdue it and you can make it productive. That's what God put in the heart of men. Yes. What did God put in the heart of men? And I think it's interesting. Isn't that something? So God gave a man a specific mission, a purpose. All right? God gave him a foothold in Eden. Eden was a place of beauty and a place of nourishment, but you know what? It was up to Adam to work it. So number 1, God gave man a specific mission. I think these things haven't changed, by the way. Amen. the curse of sin has made things harder and has affected all of the things I'm going to talk about. But I think the original intent of God hasn't changed. Number two, then after God created Adam, he gave him a specific mission, a purpose. By the way, I believe every person in this room does have a specific purpose, a specific will. God wants you to accomplish something with your life. This lazy, loafing, welfare-minded generation drives me up the wall. Guys working harder not to work than they would if they just get to work. Trying to figure out how they can live off Uncle Sam, or how they can cut a break here, how they can get some free money here. Why don't you just go work? Why don't you just go work? Number two, God then granted the necessary authority to man to accomplish his mission. Now this is important. Think about this. The Bible says God made man in his likeness and his image. Now I'm just going to throw something out there, and if I'm wrong on this, just say, oh, Brother Jerry's went a little too far. But basically, God also is someone who's always doing. God has a purpose. God created this great, wonderful universe, and you know what? Every moment of it, every day, he runs it. They don't just say he created it. It says by him were all things created. Not only were they created, but by him all things consist. So he made us in his image, and he gave us a little world and said, now, you know what? I'm going to run the universe, and I want you to work like I work. And then in the cool of the evening, we'll come down and compare notes and have fellowship. And somebody will understand a little bit of what I do every day on a much smaller scale, but they'll understand it a little bit. Now, don't take that too far. He didn't make us gods. But he wanted somebody in the image of God that would in some ways do what God does, that he could have fellowship with, that could understand maybe in a little way who God was and what he's about and what he faces. And we were supposed to be that. Okay? And we still can be that. We still can be that. But God also gave him with the mission. Now think about this, man. God created him with a specific mission, but then granted him the necessary authority to accomplish his mission. In Genesis chapter 1, we read that second, verse 28, it says this, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion. That's the authority. Now, God didn't create a situation where man had to be or was unable to secure authority over everything else that was on the earth. And so God doesn't give you a mission without giving you the authority to accomplish that mission. And by the way, it's amazing how much leeway God gave Adam. Can I just have you peek ahead real quick? Chapter 2 and verse number 20. Wait a minute. Verse 19. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. Now notice, God did the creating, but notice this. And brought them unto who? To see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called them, every living tree, that was the name thereof. Isn't that interesting? God gave him a job. He gave him a mission. But with that mission has to come the authority. Does this make sense, military men? They're going to give you a mission, then you got to have the authority to carry out the mission. Does this make sense, guys that are working men? I mean, have you ever had somebody say, I want you to get this job, but then they won't hand you to the authority to do the job? And so you go out to try to do the job, and guess what? Nobody will listen to you because you know what? You don't have the authority to accomplish what you've been. That's a frustrating situation. Are you thinking about this? And so God gave man a mission, gave him a job, gave him a purpose. Then he gave him the authority to do it. Now, number three, God gave man access to himself so that he could ask questions. I love this. I love this. This formula that I'm giving you right now will still work today. God gave man access to himself so that he could then find the mind of God, ask questions. In chapter 1, we read verse 26 and 27 that God created a man in his own image. Folks, we have a living soul and we can communicate with God because of that living soul on a level that none other creation could communicate with. And in chapter 3 of Genesis, I know we're bouncing around a lot, but jump over chapter 3, verse number 8. And after they had sinned, it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. By the way, this wasn't a first time, one time deal. I really believe that God came down and in some form fellowshipped and communicated. And it's interesting, in the cool of the day. Remember it says the evening and the morning was the first day. The evening and the morning, first day. We talked about the importance of one time, I don't know if we did it last week, of the fact that God judges or starts a day or counts a day different than we do. And I think God came down in that cool of the evening, the cool of the day. That's when one day was coming to a conclusion and plans were going to be made for what was going to be accomplished the next day. And I think God came down, listen to this, to say, Adam, let's see what you've done today. And Adam's like, oh, I hope you're pleased, Lord. Let me show you. Look, I worked over in this section. I got that cleared. And look, we've planted these things. And we've pruned this and taken care of this tree. And God said, that's fantastic. Well, what do you think, Lord? What do you think would be a good thing to work on tomorrow? Well, I don't know. I don't know. I was looking at this over here. Oh, that's great. You know, Lord, isn't this wonderful? Is this just a little taste of what you get to do? That's exactly right. Wow, somebody that can understand me. Somebody I can fellowship with. Somebody that's on the same level. Not the same level, but has the same, at least the image, a little bit of the understanding. And I think the Lord looked forward to that time. And I think Adam looked forward to that time. And you know what busted all that up? Sin. Sin busted all that up. So God gave the man access to himself so that he could ask questions and make sure that what he was doing was right and pleasing to God and all of that. All right, now number four, we're going to put all this together at the very end. So thank you for staying with me. Number four, God laid down restrictions that the man must adhere to while accomplishing his mission. Oh, I wish it was this easy. Let me tell you the two things that he basically said. He said, listen, go for it. I'll come down and look it over every night. We'll talk about it. But man, listen, I've created you to do this. Go do it. Do it. Well, what about these animals? What should I? Are you going to name them, God? Nope, you name them. Amen. Well, this garden is beautiful that you created, Lord. Are you going to maintain it? Nope, you maintain it. This is yours. By the way, that's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. What a wonderful thing. Do you realize how much God trusted Adam to create a world and say, I'm turning it over to you and your descendants? Now walk with me, fellowship with me, listen to me, and I'll guide you along the way. But by the way, listen, there are some restrictions. And by the way, sometimes folks want a job, and they want the authority to accomplish the job, and they want access to the person in charge, but they don't want any restrictions. And guess what? Even in a perfect world, there were restrictions. And here's the restrictions. Man, I wish it was this easy. Work 6 days, take one off, rest. Don't work on the Sabbath. The other restriction, see that tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Leave it alone. Don't eat anything off of it. That's it. That's it. All right? Now, remember, by the way, I'm thinking as I'm teaching down through this, if that's how God made a man to be a man, maybe those of you that have boys ought to put this little formula into practice. Okay? You know a boy wants a job? Boy wants a task? Boy wants to do something? I mean, build something, burn something, blow something up, tear something down? They want to do something! And so, according to their abilities, give them a job. And then, by the way, you have to give them the authority. Listen, you give somebody a job, give them the authority to give them the authority that they need to accomplish the job. You know what? Listen, folks, one of the best things you can do, especially in making young men into men, is to give them something and make it where they have to make some decisions on their own, and then don't crucify them when they choose wrong. Or if they do it wrong, or they don't do it exactly like you. The only way they're going to develop is have to make some calls. By the way, give them the authority to make that call, then go in later on, and if it's not the right way or not the way you'd done it, or if you have any suggestions, and then do some teaching in the cool of the evening. That's how boys develop. They've got to be turned loose on a job, and they've got to feel like they've got the authority to make a call if daddy's not around to say, and then you know what? If they're wrong, he'll give them some instruction. It's all right. But if he's failed in the attempt to do, there's nothing wrong with that. They're learning. Then you lay down restrictions. Now, listen, I'm giving you this. Listen, it's your job. You're going to maybe have to make some calls. And listen, I'll be back later and we'll talk about it and see how it goes. But let me give you three or four things that I do not want you to do, and then lay down some restrictions. You know, and then let him do it. Oh, Brother Jerry, you don't know my son. Let him do it. Let him learn.
Amen.
Okay? Man, give that chainsaw to that four-year-old. He'll be fine, all right? Turn him loose in the woods with an axe. He'll be all right. Medical field has made a wonderful advancements. They can almost sew on anything that they chop off. So, wasn't the way it was when I was a kid, but that is now. So they're gonna mess up. They're gonna make some mistakes. It's all right. If it's an act of doing, what's not all right, or for them to walk across the lines of direct restrictions. Now, don't do this, and don't do this, and don't do this. By the way, God made two rules. You know why? He knows us. Don't give your boy a task and then give him a 45 list. He didn't remember them all. Keep it simple. Keep it according to his age. Okay. Number five, God then provided assistance to the man to accomplish his mission. Okay, this is where I'm about to fall out of favor. Oh, I wish I could help. I wish I could sit down with every lady in the world and convince them of what I'm going to say. Because you know what? Most ladies that are unhappy because they don't understand the original intent why God made them. And the brainwashing of America has become so complete, and role reversals is almost complete. And women want to be men and men want to be women. I don't understand it. Or they try to be. I don't know if they really want to be down deep, but they try to be because of the pressures of society. You know what? Adam, I'm going to create you. Now I'm going to give you a mission. Now I'm going to give you the authority to accomplish that mission. And then I'm going to give you access to myself so that we can look it over and I can teach you and help you grow and learn and accomplish and do. And then I'm going to lay down some restrictions and I want you to obey them. Now, I'm going to provide you a helper. To do what? To help him accomplish the mission God has given him. Amen. To help him carry out the authority that I've given him. To help him and encourage him to fellowship and walk with me and stay close to me as I guide him. Watch this. To encourage him to stay within the boundaries of where God's restrictions are. By the way, that's where Eve failed horribly. Instead of helping Adam obey what God did, she actually brought Adam to the point where he didn't do it. Okay? Women, God made a woman. A helpmeet, what's that mean? That means someone to help, to aid, to nourish, to embrace, to provide mental, emotional, and physical encouragement so that he will go out and do what God wants him to do. And you know what? A bunch of women libbers in the 60s and 70s stood up and said, we're not going to do that anymore. It's not, I am not fulfilled enough. I will be more fulfilled if I say, I'm going to go be the man. I'm going to go accomplish something. I'm going to go have a career. And buddy, you better support me and aid me. You need to be my helpmeet. And we've had this role reversal. I'm going to tell you what, folks. It's a mess. It's a mess right now. You got a bunch of frustrated boys. You got a bunch of girls trying to do things that, you know what, God didn't create them to do. And neither one of them are happy. And so that's it. Now watch this. He provided assistance to the man to accomplish his mission. He provided him a wife. And then they were going to bear children because the Bible says multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And the whole plan was a family being developed from Adam and Eve who as a family would accomplish the subduing of the earth to the best of their ability. And then as their children married, they would leave and cleave and create a new family unit and take on a new section of this earth and continue on and continue on. And folks, if it wasn't for sin, this world would be a paradise.
Amen.
Now, what happened when sin came? Well, we're going to find that in chapter number 3, and I got to quit. But can I share this with you? You think about this, and I'll give you this to meditate on, and then we'll get into it in chapter number 3. Sin touched every single thing that I just laid out. Sin messed up the mission. Sin messed up the authority. Sin messed up our access, unbridled access to God and fellowship with God. Sin caused us, instead of having a couple restrictions, to have an entire book of restrictions. The sin nature. And also, you know what? Sin has, let me say this, listen to me. Sin has affected those who are supposed to be created to assist a man accomplish his mission. Sin has tore that thing apart. Tore it apart. And now instead of a man being born to this world and growing up and marrying a girl, and that girl saying, what does God want you to do with your life? Well, I think God wants me to accomplish this. I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to aid you and help you and stand by you and comfort you and nourish you and embrace you and in every way I possibly can help you to accomplish what God's created you to be. And by the way, we'll have some children along and they'll jump on the bandwagon too and they'll help too. And they'll get to that point where they marry off and that's fine because then God had a purpose for them. And folks, that's it. That's it. I don't care what Gloria Stein, what's her face, says. I don't care what the Women of Liber said. Ladies who have walked away from that are the most frustrated ladies in the world. Now, you can go ahead. You can go ahead and decide you're going to be the authority figure in your home, but you are an unhappy woman. You can go ahead and sit and boss and yell and holler down your husband, but you are, that's ungodly. That is as ungodly as it can be. You can say, well, I'm going to be equal and I'm going to have a career too and I'm going to do this and it's not my job and dirty diapers and I wasn't. Let me tell you something. That's God created you to be a helpmeet to your husband. Get behind him. Get in submission to him. Listen to his heart. Listen to what he wants to do. Listen to what he wants to accomplish. Roll up your sleeve and help him get it done. Stop undermining what he's trying to accomplish and start helping him accomplish it. And by the way, raise some children that'll do the same thing. Amen. Boy, I wanted to say so much more, and those kids are staring in the back window at me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, Lord, just to get back to God's original intent. Lord, I know this isn't popular in the world. I know that in today's society, we've been so brainwashed, even Christians struggle with this. Help us to get back to just getting back to God's original plan in this matter so that we can accomplish what you'd have us to accomplish in this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.